WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and obviously, since Donald Trump became a leading candidate for president and then president, understanding the mostly white working class communities that so many Trump voters came from has become something of an obsession for the media, so much of which failed to grasp the extent of the anxiety and anger of a broad swath of Americans until after the election. Sweat, the playwright Lynn Nottage's new Broadway play, now at Studio 54, zeroes right in on it. I saw Sweat over the weekend, and it delivers a very keenly observed portrait of a city grappling with the effects of deindustrialization in the Pennsylvania Rust Belt through the stories of its characters. Here with me now are the Pulitzer Prize-winning Sweat playwright Lynn Nottage. She won for her 2009 play Ruined about conflict in Congo, and the actor Michelle Wilson, who plays the lead character, Cynthia, in Sweat. Hi, Lynn. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much.
And Michelle, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm having that experience of when you've only seen somebody as a character and now you see them in real life.
You wanted to have a drink with me.
But wait, yes, you're Cynthia, that woman from the factory who, yeah, I won't give away the plot. So this is your Broadway debut, Lynn. Congratulations.
Thank you, indeed.
And the New Yorker reviewed this play as the first theatrical landmark of the Trump era. But I see you spent 2.5 years in development of the play, so you probably started with Donald Trump the furthest thing from your mind. Yes?
Right. When I first went to Reading, Pennsylvania in 2011, I don't think that Donald Trump was more than a reality television star with aspirations.
And why did you go to a fading steel town?
Well, I guess this journey really began with a commission that I received from Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which invited a group of playwrights to think very expansively about American revolutions. And at the time, I wasn't sure which revolution I specifically wanted to focus on. And then I received a letter one evening from a friend of mine who lived a couple doors down from me, who basically said that she was struggling. And she was the mother of two and didn't really want anything from us, but wanted to let us know that she was in trouble. And it really sort of made me very sad to think about someone who was living with economic security, living so close to me in Brooklyn. And I ended up calling her the next morning and going to Occupy Wall Street with her. And we sort of marched around. And at the end of the day, it sort of produced this hunger to understand how economic stagnation and economic insecurity was really sort of shifting the American narrative. And I wanted to find a city that I felt was really representative of that.
So Reading,
the
poorest American city of that size, according to the Census Bureau in 2011. What did you find when you went there?
You know, when I went to Reading, it was sort of surprising because as you drive into the city, what you see at first is this very beautiful city, which is sort of a mixture of colonial homes and mid-20th century homes. And so you don't see sort of the poverty on the surface. And I began asking questions from everyone from the mayor to folks who ran the United Way to folks who ran businesses. And what I found was a city that was very fractured along racial and economic lines, and a city that really wanted to share its story but felt relatively invisible.
And listeners, if you want to talk to Lynn Nottage, anyone listening who's already seen Sweat in previews or in its first couple of nights or is a fan of Lynn Nottage's previous work or is from Reading or wants to reflect on the issues of fading industrial America and how would you like to see them represented in theater and other arts, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Lynn is here with the actress Michelle Wilson, one of the leads in Sweat. So if you want to talk to either of them, 212-433-9692. Michelle, learning your part, did Lynn take you through, and the director, who I haven't even mentioned.
The director is Kate Wierski, who's a longtime collaborator.
And so Brilliant. Are you learning politics? Did you, as the cast members, go out to Reading also, or are you just, like, learning your lines?
All of the above. When we started, there was some great dramaturgy, and Lynn had done so much research and interviews, so we had packets. And then you have this incredibly dense human text that you have to begin on. But also, I'm from Detroit. So my city was a canary in the coal mine years ago with deindustrialization. So I knew these people, and I knew the struggle. One of my earliest memories is it had to be during the gas crisis. And I remember they were sending counselors into the schools to deal with children because the families were so depressed because of losing their jobs. So this has always been with me. I'm from a company town.
And I see that in a conversation between cast members posted on the SWET website, referring to the poverty and anxiety in the Rust Belt. You said, how did I not know this, and what can I do? And I think a lot of people in our listening area especially may be thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. How do you answer your own question?
I feel like sometimes we forget how large this country is, right? And we're in our own little pocket of existence. And so we can forget what our neighbors are going through or not be aware, right? But everybody wants the same things. And there's a quality to it where I think it makes people feel incredibly vulnerable to admit that we're all on an edge, right, economically. Because most of us are striving and working hard, but we don't have the same obstacles of a company closing and not having options.
So, Lynn, having immersed yourself in this kind of community, were you less surprised than maybe a lot of other New Yorkers when Donald Trump was actually elected?
I will begin by saying I was very surprised that he was elected, but I was not surprised that he had as much support that he had. Because the stories that I heard were very similar to the stories that we now are quite familiar from the headlines. It's a large swath of the white population that feels terribly disaffected, that feels marginalized and invisible. And that's certainly what I encountered when I was talking to people in Reading.
Let's take a phone call. Sarah in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had heard that Sweat was a play I should see. I'm a recent arrival in New York and didn't know really what it was about. But I was on a bus that actually went to Reading campaigning for Hillary Clinton during the campaign, saw the city, saw what had happened. And a group of us went out and you sort of separate. And we were waiting for some people. And the person I was with said, let's go in this bar. So we ended up listening to a guy who was a patron at the bar, the bartender, and it was actually the bartender was very intelligent. It was the guy sitting at the bar who was actually he said he was a union person. He was working for Hillary, but he had a lot of complaints and a lot of strong feelings.
It's amazing that you're telling this story, and my guests are both sitting here smiling and laughing, as am I, because we know that so much of the play is set in a bar where community members from this, troubled factory go to hang out. So you're right in that. You're more in the wheelhouse than you really even know. So what was your takeaway from Reading, Sarah?
Well, in a sense, it was just there were parts of the city that were actually beautiful. But I shouldn't say that, actually beautiful, as if it couldn't be. But since I knew it was a Rust Belt city, I was surprised to see the parts that were pretty, and then the parts sort of where there were bars and some fair, quite rundown storefronts, mm-hmm. things like that. You
okay.
could see the different parts.
I'm going to leave it there, Sarah. Thank you very much. Here's somebody who has seen the play already. Akisa in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I saw it on Friday, and I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you.
I thought it was really great to see how Lynn, and I can't remember the co-author's name, kind of juxtapose race and class, because you see in the bar an African-American lead who's a dear friends with two white women. And so I love the idea that race can transcend, rather friendship can transcend differences. But then it kind of falters when one kind of wants to supersede her economic class. And there were some obvious tensions there, so I really appreciated the fact that the play delved into those issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, Michelle, as your character, Cynthia, and I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but Cynthia, who's black, works in a factory alongside her friends who in the play are white, and eventually Cynthia gets promoted to management, a traditionally white world where jobs are passed from father to son. How did you inhabit what the caller was describing, what Cynthia must have been thinking, including her conflict between her new job in management and her loyalty to her union friends still working on the factory line?
We just all have ambition. And my thinking is that Cynthia is doing everything you're supposed to do, right? She graduated high school, got married, had a family, started working in the factory, and wanted more. And it's like the American dream. And hers becomes a nightmare. It just starts unraveling. But I would like to say that it's there's also this class dynamic, right? So her and her friends have been on the line for years together, and it's when someone is trying to step out of the class as well. You know, it's what Lynn does so brilliantly in this piece is that you can't just pull one thread. So there's class, and there's race, and there's, you know, a community. And there's all these issues, immigration, that are on top of each other and compounding each other. So there's no oversimplified or pathologized view of these human beings.
I actually want to play a clip of Donald Trump from yesterday, since Reading is a steel town, announcing a rollback of climate emission rules designed to bring back coal mining jobs. But he also said this.
This came up a little bit coincidentally when I was signing the pipeline deals. I'm all signing. I've got them done. And I said, folks, where do we get the steel? And they said, I think it's from foreign lands. I said, no good. Who makes it? Who makes those beautiful pipes for the pipeline? So they're made outside of this country. I said, no more, no more. So we added a little clause. Didn't take much. That you want to build pipelines in this country? You're going to buy your steel and you're going to have it fabricated here.
So, Lynn Nottage, after immersing yourself in the politics and economics of Reading, including steel jobs going to Mexico, does that kind of thing, no matter what else you might think of Donald Trump, get you hopeful, like he's also trying something that the usual politicians wouldn't, to help communities like the one portrayed in Sweat?
Well, I'm an eternal optimist, so I cling to what's positive in that speech, but I don't know that it's necessarily going to happen. I'm not entirely confident that those steel jobs are going to be able to come back to those communities. And I really think that sort of incumbent upon the politicians, particularly in that region, to begin to think more creatively and expansively about how to create jobs.
Joan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joan.
Thank you for taking my call. I am of the theater, and I want to thank Lynn for this extraordinary play. My feeling that our art really makes an enormous change in our social attitudes. And I felt as I was seeing the play that if it had opened before the election, it would have had enormous impact on voters. So thank you, Lynn. It was just extraordinary. And I'm going again next week.
Thank you. That's so lovely.
Thank you very much. And here's Amanda in Manhattan, but from Reading. Hi, Amanda. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I think it's wonderful that the play is about Reading and, you know, looking at, you know, sort of these very disenfranchised people that have, you know, are sort of the ex-coal miners. However, I think that if you really want to delve into the areas of Pennsylvania and places like West Virginia, you have to go to places like Schuylkill County, Monoy City, Georgeville, Shenandoah, where you truly have abandoned towns. And, you know, these are the people that now struggle with opiate addictions and
yes.
meth and heroin.
Right, which is also represented in the play. Yes. Amanda, what do you think those towns actually need at a policy level?
I think that, you know, they have started to do some wind turbine projects in Shenandoah. I think more of that is important. I think, you know, looking at the overall industries in those areas, things like automation could potentially come in. But you're also looking at the real need for education. Unfortunately, these areas are so poverty-stricken that the tax dollars are really not there to go into robust public education, which I think is generally a, probably a problem in this country in rural areas as a whole. So if I were to say those three things would probably be the solution.
Thank you very much. We have 2 minutes left before the end of the show with Lynn Nottage, the playwright of Sweat, and Michelle Wilson, who plays one of the characters. The theater, Studio 54, it's the first time I saw a play there. I know it as this legendary club from the 80s, and now it's a Broadway theater.
But it was also a television studio prior to being a club, so it has a very interesting history.
And it's small. It was seemed like it was very intimate. I don't know if it's smaller than other Broadway theaters, but it seemed like an intimate space. You got a standing ovation, the cast did, when I was there on Saturday night. I don't know, how's that space to play in?
Oh, it's a lovely space. It has good ghost in that Broadway house. It's been such a positive experience, but it's Studio 54 works. We're working artists on stage, talking about people who are disenfranchised, who've worked for their lives. But the building itself, you know, the front staff and all of the, you know, dressers, it's a beehive of activity. So it's a perfect reflection of we're working on stage. Lynn wrote a piece for working artists and everybody from the building, you know, down is working.
And it was at the Public previously. So different audience?
It's a very different audience, and it's been a sort of a tremendous audience because the majority of people are there not because they subscribe but because they want to be there. And you feel that energy. At least I do when I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm sure that's true for you, Michelle, when you're standing on stage. And can I just add one thing just about the intimacy of Studio 54 is that our designer, John Lee Beatty, I think did a fantastic job of really bringing the play forward so that people feel like they're sitting in that bar.
And you get to show it by being on Broadway, I think, to more people from all over America. It's funny because you're not on television, you're not on a network, but on Broadway you get the tourists.
Which is great. The other day I was sitting in the audience with some folks who didn't know I was a playwright, and at intermission the circle of people began talking about the play, and one woman said, "What do you think?" Another woman said, "I think it's great. I think it's so wonderful to see these folks who I know on stage, and this is my first Broadway show." That's thrilling.
That's really great. Playwright Lynn Nottage, whose latest is Sweat, at Studio 54, and Michelle Wilson, who plays one of the lead characters. Cynthia, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
On. Good luck with the run.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.